Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York State's 18th beautiful district. He's been in office since 2013. And Sean, welcome.
Great to be with you, Alan.
Now, I understand, I know that you've gotten a tremendous honor. You've been designated by your people to be the head of the DCCC, the Democratic Campaign Committee, and you're now responsible for keeping the House of Representatives. How are you going to do that?
Well, we're going to do it with what we're doing today, first and foremost, which is passing a massive, historic rescue plan for the American economy. It will end the pandemic. It will reboot our economic engines. And we are going to focus like a laser beam on delivering for people who need help. The best politics will be the best policy, and vice versa. And so that's first and foremost. I also think it's important that people understand that something very, very frustrating and very dangerous is happening with the Republican caucus here in Washington. You know, I did a press conference on Friday, Alan, with, you know, two Republican county executives in Orange County and Dutchess County. They support the American Rescue Plan, as do 75% of the American people, as does the Republican mayor of Poughkeepsie, as do all the Republican town supervisors I talked to. You know, this is wildly popular and wildly bipartisan everywhere except inside the Republican caucus room here in the House of Representatives in Washington, where they are just in the throes of some very dangerous elements who are opposed to anything we want to do. And I think that is creating a dangerous and delusional set of priorities for them. You know, we see these QAnon conspiracy theorists in their caucus. We've seen them excuse the violent attack on the Capitol. They will not participate in an infrastructure bill. They will not participate in a rescue plan for the American people. And that is creating a division within the Republican Party because some of their members know that that's the wrong way to go. Look at Liz Cheney or even Mitch McConnell at this point, my goodness, or Adam Kinzinger. I'm not making this up. And yet far more of them have decided to double down on the most toxic elements of the Trump agenda to drive it straight into the ground, to try to oppose anything we want to do that will actually end the pandemic, help people. And I think they're going to pay a price for that. So we have a positive agenda focused on ending the pandemic and boosting the economy. And they are a divided and dangerous caucus. And that will create a responsibility to govern in a way that will the American people need. But it will also, I think, have consequences come election time.
Now, Sean Patrick Maloney, this is quite a task you've taken on and that you've been given to do. The Republicans, obviously, know that this program, the COVID relief program, had tremendous backing from the American people. Is it only their fear of Trump which prohibits them from cooperating?
Well, you know, you tell me. I mean, we're talking about $40 billion coming to the state of New York. We're talking about $75 million directly to Orange County, $57 million to Dutchess County. These are the counties I represent, $19 million for Putnam County, $188 million. Yeah, these are one-year numbers, by the way, for Westchester County. And then remember, cities and towns receive direct assistance, too. So the city of Newburgh and the city of Poughkeepsie will each receive more than $20 million directly. Middletown will receive $12 million. And we're talking about $30 billion for transit funding, $8 billion for airports. We'll get eight of that $30 billion for transit right here in New York. That's Metro North. You know, that's the MTA, right? We're talking about billions of dollars for our schools, $15 billion for the city of Poughkeepsie School District. So if you ask why these Republican elected officials are supporting this, is because they are going to get the support they need. And then, of course, you know, the funding and the strategy we need to continue to enhance the vaccine distribution, the testing we still need, all of these things are going to put the pandemic to bed once and for all. And so when you look at the comprehensive nature of the rescue plan, it's hard to understand why the Republicans are so opposed to it. And I have to tell you, the sad conclusion is that they're not afraid it will fail. They're afraid it will work. I think they have come to the conclusion that only if President Biden fails, only if the Democratic majority in the House and Senate fail, will they have a chance to come back to power. And that's sad, because the truth is we're not trying to succeed ourselves. We're trying to get the country back in good shape with the pandemic and the economy. That's what this plan is. That's what local Republican elected officials see. That's why they are supporting it. Down in Washington, it's just become this zero-sum political game. So I think it's a dead end for them. I wish they would reconsider. I think their problem is that 75% of the American public understand this is an important thing. We got to get it done. And the good news for folks is, you know, today is Wednesday the 10th. We're going to pass it into law today out of the House of Representatives.
That is so extraordinary, Sean, that 75% of the American people are for it, and yet they are so scared, clearly, of Donald Trump and of losing the congressional by-elections, that they would go against the will of the American people. It's really mystifying.
Well, think about this. I mean, think about the families in my district. Think about a guy working as a school custodian. Maybe his wife is cleaning the houses. Maybe together they're making $60,000 or $70,000 a year. They got two kids. They're going to get $5,600, $1,400 for the husband and wife each, also for their two kids. That's $5,600 in the next few weeks out of the American Rescue Plan. That's what the Republicans are opposing. In addition, he's going to get a child tax credit, which will be revolutionary for each of those children, another $300 a month. In addition to that, we've expanded the earned income tax credit, which has helped millions of families work their way out of poverty. This is a bipartisan success story, one of the most successful policies we've ever implemented. We're expanding the earned income tax credit. What are they opposing that for? And when you hear Republicans say it's not about the pandemic, well, it was when they voted for all this stuff a year ago. I mean, they supported all these things. It's testing and vaccination and the PPP program. 11,000 businesses in my district are in business today because of small business forgivable loans. They're grants. Let's call them what they are, right? People will not be paying these back. 11,000 businesses just in my congressional district. That's 100,000 people who still have their jobs, still have their paychecks, still have their health insurance because of that program. It's a runaway success. That's a huge part of this bill. They're saying it's not pandemic related. What the hell is it if it's not pandemic related? And that's just one species of assistance to small business. So this is a really massive, answer to a really massive problem. And it's supported by the American people, and we're going to get it done. And I'm just sorry that my Republican colleagues are going down this dead end of opposition for the sake of opposition.
Sean, what is H.R. 1 and what does it do?
H.R. 1 is historic reform of our kind of broken political system. For one thing, it would remember, combined with H.R. 4, which is the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, it would restore the Voting Rights Act. So first thing we got to do is stop these vicious tactics to suppress voters in places like Georgia, which is just the latest chapter in a very old story of trying to keep certain people from voting. It's disgraceful. It's wrong. The Voting Rights Act was weakened by the Supreme Court several years ago, and it used to be reauthorized with broad bipartisan support. President George W. Bush supported it, back when the Republican Party was a responsible governing party in Washington. And now we're fighting for it. So we've got to get voting rights restored, but also we can do much more. We can have automatic registration, which would allow millions of people to vote. And we've seen that work in states that do it. We should have nonpartisan gerrymandering. So voters can pick politicians instead of politicians picking their voters. We've got to do that so that it's actually fair and not some rigged game. And we got to get big money under control, and that's what H.R. 1 does. So it's very important election reform and campaign finance reform.
I only got a minute here, but I wanted to ask you real quickly on this. Is there a chance you can get this thing through the Senate, which is 50-50 and where people are making noises that they don't want it? Is there a chance you can actually get this thing through?
Yes, we can get we can get it through the Senate. I don't know if you're going to get all of it in the same form through the Senate, but I think you can get a lot of it through the Senate. But look, I also think we should end the filibuster in the Senate, especially for civil rights and voting rights measures like this. But in general, I mean, my goodness, let's remember the filibuster was about oppressing African Americans. That's where it comes from. The filibuster exists to keep black people from voting, and it continues today. To empower 40 senators at the expense of 60 senators who represent tens of millions of more people And it's so anti-democratic the way the Senate's set up in the first place. But that's the great compromise in the Constitution. I can live with that. But I don't know why we put a second layer on top of that, which allows senators from small states with not a lot of population tell the rest of us that they've got a stranglehold on everything. I mean, look, if you win the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, and 75% of the American public supports something like common sense gun legislation, like election law reform, H.R. 1 we just talked about, like the pandemic rescue plan, you should be able to pass it into law. That's all I'm saying. So I think it's time to end the filibuster, if you ask me.
Sean Patrick Maloney, great. I would like to pick it up the next time we speak on the filibuster, because there's some interesting questions that relate to it. Sean Patrick Maloney, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you, Alan.